This is the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CGMQ 88.9 FM. I'm William Crooks, and today's show is brought to you through the support of the Local Journalism Initiative. We've got two important local stories lined up. First, I'll walk you through the major takeaways from the most recent Eastern Township School Board meeting, everything from the budget discussion to the decisions that will shape the months ahead for our schools. I've gone through the full meeting and pulled out the details that matter most for families, staff, and residents. Then we'll switch over to something more seasonal. The annual carol service is coming up, and it's one of those events that really brings people together at this time of year. I'll share what to expect and why it remains such a cherished tradition in the townships. All that and more coming up. Let's get right into it. You're listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CGMQ 88.9 FM, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative. I'm William Crooks. Today we're looking at two key moments from the Eastern Township School Board's November 25th Council of Commissioners meeting, a session that ran just over an hour and a half and covered a lot of ground. For this segment, we're going to focus on two central pieces. First, the auditor's report at the beginning of the meeting, which confirmed the board's financial health and highlighted a very precise year-end balance. And second, near the end, Chair Michael Murray's update from the Quebec English School Boards Association, where he raises serious concerns about Bills 96 and 1 and their impact on English language education in Quebec. Let's start at the top of the meeting with the audit.
I'd like to welcome Sean Frost invite you to go ahead.
Thank you very much. Now, it's my understanding that the financial information has been circulated and that their Sophie has done a presentation to the audit committee. So basically, my presentation this evening is going to be to go through the various reports which we provide to the Eastern Town School Board and to the government, as well as a quick overview of the financial statements as at June 30th, 2025. So as part of an audit, we have an obligation as auditors to do a certain level of communication to the governance, those in charge of governance. So it's that is this evening, that's happening this evening. We produce, or the direction of the school board produces a letter of declaration, which we have received, declaring that they have provided us all the information necessary for us to produce our audit. So I just wanted to make you aware that that has been provided to us. Throughout the audit, there was no significant issues identified, no frauds, no illegalities that were found as well. So that too, I'm obliged to bring to your attention. That being said, I will go on to the various reports which we provide and join to the financial statements of the school board. The primary one is the audit report that are linked to the financial statements. It's pretty much the same audit report as in 2024 with an audit reserve. And the reserve comes about because of liabilities were booked by the, or required to be booked by the Ministry of the Education Minister back in 2023 regarding the OMHS. So that's the French acronym, but it's the liabilities with regards to bringing the state of your capital assets, primarily buildings, back to a required standard. A lot of the buildings have been built with asbestos in them, evidently, and there's work that's ongoing and to correct that situation. But we have to foresee that those costs in the financial statements, and there's a significant liability booked based on different estimates and hypotheses stated by the government back in 2023, which are not able to be audited by the auditors. So that reserve is there and will continue to be there until those corrections are completely done and that liability is completely reversed, which could take years, could take tens of years, 20 years, 30 years, depending on the speed at which those repairs become necessary. Other than that, however, I want to make certain that it's understood that there's no other issues found with the financial statements. So it's a clean audit opinion on everything else except for that liability that's on the books of the school board.
Auditor Sean Frost then moved to the numbers, confirming that the ETSB ended the year with a very small surplus. He then delivered a series of reports on some minor lingering problems.
Quickly go over the revenues and expenses and a few key items of the balance sheet. But the total income for the school board for the year ending June 30th, 2025, came in at 139,000,046. So 139,046,000 dollars. Total expenses came in at 138,959,000, which results in a slight profit for the year, or an excess of revenues over expenses of $87,000. This is therefore pretty much break even year for 2025, compared to a profit in 2024 of $1.1 million. So it shows that there's sound management of the funds that the school board has, in the sense that basically they're using 100% of the revenue that came in the financial year. In terms of the balance sheet, there at June 30th, again, this is a picture as at one specific day, June 30th, 2025, there was total assets of $178 million, of which there's significant accounts receivables, primarily from the governments, totaling roughly 170 million of that 178. There's also cash of roughly 1.5 million at that same date. In terms of the liabilities, there's total liabilities of 337,000, 337 million, sorry, of which a significant amount of that is related to debts for which there are account receivables on the books from the ministry as well. So the one significant change this year, maybe over last year, is in terms of the regular accounts payables, which includes salaries payables. In 2023, sorry, in 2024, at the end of the financial year, there was significant retro pays accounted for of roughly $8 million. At the end of 2025, there was only $1 million of retro, so there's a $7 million swing in those liabilities during the year. All this to say that the excess, which is accumulated for the board over the entire history of the board, is $293,000. So it's a very minimal amount given the overall budget, annual budget of the school board for the year. That's the financial information that I had to present this evening. I'll move on to the three other, sorry, four other reports which we are required to provide. The first of which is a report that discusses the various errors that we found or find during an audit process. I'm glad to be able to report this evening that there was no significant errors found in the financial figures this year. Thus, there's nothing to report for 2025. However, in the 2024 audit, there was a $572,000 error that was found, which was reported on our summary of unadjusted differences. Because when we do an audit, we have a materiality level which allows us to not request changes. So that 572,000 fell well within that materiality. And so when we find a certain type of error in one year, it impacts the next year because it's the error was with regards to salaries payable last year. So those salaries were actually paid in 25 and they should have been recorded in 24. So it just has an overlapping impact onto the current fiscal year, but there was no new errors found during this year's audit. The third report, which we are required to file with the ministry, is with regards to internal controls. So last year we did talk of internal controls, and this year there was one new item found with regards to internal controls. When we did our IT audit this year, there was issues identified with certain elements of the Dolphin, TFP, and Avangal systems, which are not using passwords that are set up within best practices of in IT standards. So that was brought to the attention of management and will be corrected according to the comments that we received from them. So where there's no significant issue that was identified, except for the best practices weren't necessarily being followed in that regard. So that should be all corrected and resolved for next year's audit. We also follow up on internal control weaknesses, which have been identified in previous years. So there were three that we discussed last year, and we follow up on them to see if there's a correction made or not. So there was nothing particular done to address the issues, but it's in my opinion quite all right that they aren't necessarily addressed because they have to do with the, primarily have to do with the size of the administrative team and the lack of being able to split tasks properly. So one, the first of which was there's too many people with administrative roles. So there's too many people with the administrator roles in your accounting system, which allow for unnecessary accesses to some extent. But there again, because of the limited number of people in the administrative team, it's a certain level of backup that that it provides. So it's and there's compensating controls to ensure that things aren't done incorrectly as well. So it's brought to your attention again this year, but we can certainly live with that as auditors. Also, in terms of the Dolphin and Avangal systems, it joins with the previous item, but there's people in the finance department which are able to provide access to other people, and normally that shouldn't be a task performed by people within the finance department who are actually using those programs to maintain the accounting of the organization. There are too limited number of people. It's a little bit difficult to always get the proper segregation of duties. And the final item is pure segregation of duties on a larger basis. The example we gave in the letter was with regards to payroll and such that certain people are able to produce or to create or modify employee files and send that information to the payroll department without a certain level of validation. Here again, there's compensating controls to ensure that nothing is done that shouldn't be done, but those are controls that are in place to find errors after the fact, whereas we would prefer to prevent errors from happening. And thus, if there were more people that could be involved, it would certainly be a good idea to have those tasks put in the hands of somebody else. I'll continue on to the second to last report, and this is a report on spec that the government requires us to produce or to prepare an audit report on specific audit procedures. So those audit procedures have us do things that are over and above the financial statement audit, and we're obliged to report to you if we are find anything that's out of the ordinary. And in two of those tests, there were issues that came about, or issues, errors found. And one was with regards to the obligation liée à la mise hors service, what I'd reported on in the audit report as being that liability that was set up. We found Variances of $9,206 in certain adjustments were made to that that liability, and we're just obliged to report that to the ministry. Again, $9,000 is certainly not a significant amount in the overall budget of the school board, so it's nothing of major concern there. The other is with regards to related party transactions, and we're obliged to look and ensure that all members of the board of directors have signed their questionnaire with regards to related party transactions. So if there's a board member that has a company, we want to make sure that that company name is reported to the board. So if ever there's a potential conflict, or if that company were to ever provide certain work to the school board, it has to be reported distinctly and identified. There was three members of the board who did not provide that form. However, two of them left in September 2004, and the third one left in June 2005. So it's a question of timing. Possibly the one from the left in June 2005 probably should have signed, submitted and signed their question. Questionnaire, the two from last September. I don't know when the timing is of these questionnaires, but it's something that should be done on an annual basis. So it's those three individuals whose questionnaires were not on file. And the final report, which we have to produce, is with regards to our audit of the student files. So as part of the audit, the government wants us to look into the different student files to make sure that all the paperwork is adequate and or in respects of the norms. And so we look at three different levels of students: the younger students, the adult students, or younger students, so elementary, the students at the secondary level, and then the students at continuing education. So in the younger students, elementary level, there was six files which were not complete. One at Cookshire, one at St. Francis, three at Alexander Galt, and one at Richmond Regional. In most cases, there's just really one document that seemed to be misplaced. In the at the adults and then continuing education. So there was three. So at the adult level, there was 11 issues found in the files, all with regards to the calculation of hours. And then at the formation professionnelle, there was three files which didn't have all the information with regards to different exam dates and frequencies. So there's overall, in terms of the big picture of the number of students which go through the different schools of the ETSB, certainly no significant amount of errors in the student files identified.
That's a very complete report. I'm pleased that we were able to balance the budget so deftly. I think a lot of credit is due to our finance department, although our director of finance tells me that it's due to the entire school board team. We congratulate everyone who contributes to that, contributed to that result, and hope that they will continue to contribute this year to be equally as effective.
That's the financial side of the meeting. Steady, precise, and cautiously optimistic. Now we'll jump forward to the end of the session, where things shift from finances to legislation. This is where Chair Michael Murray delivers his update from the Quebec English School Boards Association, and the tone becomes noticeably more serious.
Well, we'll move on to the QESBA report, perhaps a little less cheerful. QESBA is deeply concerned over Bill 96 and the implications of Bill 1. And without revealing anything confidential, I can report that QESBA has submitted a brief to the government concerning Bill 96 and has requested permission to present it in person. And are v deeply concerned about some of the amendments that are being introduced late in the process of reviewing that bill. It's It's certainly a bill that strikes much wider than simply education or minority language education, and we would be more interested as QESBA in joining a consortium of other institutions to oppose it than to try and tackle it ourselves. We continue to take legal advice on the issue. QESBA has, as you know, developed an eligibility mapping tool and are now ready to make individual school board visits. So we're invited to make a request on a date. And Candy and I were discussing today what dates might be available. And we're going to shoot for something in February, I think. Sooner if possible, but there don't seem to be a lot of free dates. As far as QESBA is concerned, the next full board meeting will be on December 5th. That is always will be in a hybrid format. And just in passing, it's nothing to do directly with QESBA, but an item of information that may affect us in one way or another, that the Assistant Deputy Minister who's the head of the portion of the Ministry of Education dealing with English schooling is on leave, and a new interim Assistant Deputy Minister by the name of Nadine Peterson has been appointed. So we don't know any details about the reason for the non-availability of the Assistant Deputy Minister, but there may be an extensive absence.
And that brings us to the end of this segment from the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CGMQ 88.9 FM, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative. Today we heard two very different sides of the ETSB's November meeting: the measured financial picture from the auditor and the political concerns raised by QESBA as major pieces of legislation move through the National Assembly. I'm William Crooks. Thanks for listening, and as always, keep your finger on the pulse of the Eastern Townships. You're listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CGMQ 88.9 FM. I'm William Crooks, and today we're looking at one of the most beloved holiday traditions in our region, the annual Festival of Lessons and Carols at St. Mark's Chapel on the Bishop's University campus. The services are coming up Friday, November 28th at 7 p.m. and Saturday, November 29th at 4 p.m. They're free to attend, parking is free, and every year they draw a full mix of students, faculty, community members, and families for a candlelit celebration of music and Christmas readings. To get a sense of what's ahead this season, I spoke with choir director Sarah Heath, who has led the chapel choir for many years. We talked about the preparations, the choir's work behind the scenes, and what makes this annual gathering such an anticipated marker of the season for so many people in the townships. Here's my conversation with Sarah Heath.
I have been chapel choir director for 13 years, but I was also the director when I was a student. So I was a student director here in the 90s and then took a hiatus, and it's been 13 years that I've been back doing it.
What's significant about this year's service, Sarah?
Well, I think what's unique about it is the composition of our choir. There's a chemistry with our members this year. There's always a chemistry, but there just seems to be a really special bond with a lot of the members. And I think that's what makes it special for me. So the choir is doing four standalone anthems, and then the congregation gets to sing a number of traditional carols like Hark the Herald Angels Sing and O Come, O Come Emmanuel and Away in a Manger. So this, a lot of the standards that people, think of when they think of Christmas music.
And the services are interactive, correct?
For guests that come to the service, they get to sing for like a lot. You get to sing a lot in the service. We also have a trumpeter that comes. He is a professional trumpeter, and he has done this service with us for many years, Nicolas Leblanc, and he's just so talented.
What is the significance of Christmas music for you?
Christmas isn't Christmas without music. I've often said these two services are my favorite event of the year. I look forward to it. I plan it. I revel in every minute of it when it goes on. It's the start of Christmas. We're doing it the first weekend of Advent. So it's the kickoff to the Christmas season. And yeah, Christmas isn't Christmas without good music. We have Marie Simard, our organist, and she is the resident organist at the United Church. We get to borrow her for the services, and we couldn't do it without her.
You're listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CJMQ 88.9 FM, and that was my conversation with Sarah Heath, choir director at St. Mark's Chapel, ahead of this year's Festival of Lessons and Carols. Once again, those services are Friday, November 28th at 7 p.m. and Saturday, November 29th at 4 p.m. on the Bishop's University campus. They're free to attend, and the chapel is always a beautiful place to begin the Christmas season. Thanks for joining me today. For more local interviews and in-depth townships coverage, you can always visit cjmqnews.com. I'm William Crooks, and this is the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CJMQ 88.9 FM. And as always, keep your finger on the pulse. And that wraps up today's edition of the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CJMQ 88.9 FM, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative. We covered the big discussions from the latest ETSB meeting and took a look ahead at the carol service that helps kick off the season for so many in our region. Both stories show just how active and connected our communities are. If you missed anything, you can catch the full segment later on at cjmqnews.com, along with past shows and updates from across the townships. Thanks for listening, and as always, keep your finger on the pulse. Today's music selection was brought to you by Johann Sebastian Bach.